Welcome to the Too Posh Podcast.
I'm Gabrielle. I am a former mafia princess and the owner of our Too Posh Boutique. And I'm here with my beautiful daughter, Marcella.
I'm Marcella. I am a dancer, choreographer, model, and the designer for Too Posh. And I cannot wait to talk to Whitley,
who is my son's adorable girlfriend.
Hi, I'm Whitley. I like to create things. I'm kind of a nerd. Kind of a nerd, and I like to make people smile.
What will they say next? You're listening to the Too Posh Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the Too Posh Podcast. And today I'm here with my beautiful co-host, my daughter, Marcella.
Hello.
We're missing Whitley today because she is moving and she had to watch her brothers in Rockport and she has been super busy. So we're going to have to do this without her. And we welcome our beautiful guest, Denise Rebo, today, who has taken out her time and come here, and we're so appreciative. And she's going to share her story of abuse, and there's lots of things to her, lots of levels to her that we're going to learn, and her narrowly escaping her ex-boyfriend, almost killing her. And we will hear her story from the beginning and what led up to this scary event, step by step. And before we get into it, this is our Wednesday episode, so we're just going to talk a little bit, update everyone a little bit what the Too Posh girls are about, what's been going on the last week. And this is episode 54, which we're excited about. This kind of, we always can't believe how many.
I know. And we're getting close, I think, to 10,000.
I don't know. I haven't gotten the new numbers. I think it's more like 8,000 downloads.
I think that's still close to 10.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. I didn't say 10.
Close. So, but we have now been at the Statler Hotel at the waterproof pool for several weekends. And they are very, very cool. I feel they get better every single week. We're meeting so many amazing people, forming new friendships, new exciting things going on. And this Saturday we did something really crazy.
Yeah, they had a Rumble in the Park, which is new. They're trying to do, I feel like, a Vegas style boxing outside. Well, hopefully it'll be inside because it was really hot.
It was so hot outside.
I was dying. And we had Too Posh girls were ring girls, and they wore really cute Too Posh shirts that were blingy, and I thought they were the prettiest ones. We found some. Is my mic cutting out or is that my headphones?
Oh, it's your headphones.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. And we found some new models, which was cool. We saw an old model who was actually in the horrible calendar shoot with us. Poor thing.
With the photographer.
With the scary photographer. I think he's in a past episode. We talked about him. He sent us clipped toenails. He was crazy. But it was crazy. We saw one. We saw her. So we want to get her back. She looked great. And we went out with everybody, the owners of the Statler.
Right.
And it was really fun.
I need to go there.
Yeah, you need to come.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's what's so cool about it is everyone that goes says there's just something a little bit special about the Statler. It's just a different kind of feel than any normal hotel. It's a historic place that they remodeled, and it's really, really.
And they did a good job.
They did a great job and great restaurants. And we actually, this week, by the time the show comes out, it will be done. We're signing our lease for our boutique that will open sometime in either September 1st. That's what we're shooting for. But if it doesn't get finished, somewhere in the first 2 weeks of September. And so
come shopping.
Yeah, come shopping.
I'll be there.
If you need anything, costumes, swimsuits, dresses, jewelry, just come see us. And I have to go to Los Angeles next week because I figured out that my Austrian passport is expired. And it used to be very easy. I just used to have to go to the embassy or send all my stuff to the embassy and they would send me my passport. Well, they have changed the rules. So now you have to appear in person. And the only places that are is either New York, Miami, Washington, Los Angeles.
To get in another country passport, is that what you're saying?
For Austria it is. I don't know what it is for anyone else, but they changed the law a few years ago. So now Jolie has always wanted to see Los Angeles, so we decided to go and make a trip out of it. And that's what I'm doing next week.
That's exciting.
I am excited about it.
She's sounding like it's like, oh, yeah. I have to
no,
go.
No, I am excited about it.
It's a good mother-daughter trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Patrick's going too. So we'll make a little family trip. I wish Marcel and Gino were coming, but that's okay next time.
Need to work.
So now, Denise, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
I think it's really awesome because we, and obviously I don't know if you know this, but we, after Valerie came on, who is episode
6, 7, 8, 9,
and then she's been on later, but her story was really those. I shared mine, and then Nicolette shared briefly about hers, and then I have gotten messages from women a lot that say that, and even in person too, people tell me that it's happened to them and they're like, we cannot come talk about it yet, I'm not brave enough, or they're remarried and their husband is not comfortable with them talking about it because it's very hard to do.
It's
that
taboo.
And it makes you feel kind of, and Amanda Murdoch came on and talked about it. So
love her.
Yeah. So we've just, so it's really brave of you. And I think it's awesome because I do think it'll help people. And even if, and I'm not saying the people who don't want to talk about it aren't helping, I think it helps them as well because it's so difficult to actually do that. And we've told everyone, like, whenever you're ready. I mean, you've gotten messages before.
I spoke to someone this week who told me that she feels like she wants to and she's just not quite ready, and her story is different. In her situation, it was her dad that was abusive, and
I think what it is embarrassment, because I did fumble with that for a lot, but my parents have always taught me to speak my mind.
Right.
If something's hurting you, don't hold back.
Right.
And after it happened, like I told you, as soon as it happened, I got on Instagram and posted a short 30-second video. Mm-hmm. And because I knew, once I explained, but I just knew that I had to say something because he's going to, you know, go to jail, but get out. And who knows what he's going to say? He's going to blame it on me, which he did.
Of course.
Which I'll explain later. But you know what I'm saying? And I was like, no, I'm going to get the first word out, you know? And that's, like I said, I want to help somebody. That's
right.
Definitely.
Yeah. And that's, I think, the intention when we share these stories is always to help someone else. Because I think what happens when you are in abusive relationships, you always, I think everyone has good sides. Mm-hmm. Every single one. Even, I mean, someone even said it one time, even Charles Manson had good stuff.
Are
good
you sure?
I'm sorry.
No, there is good parts to everybody. No, there really is, and that's what gets people stuck. That's the problem. And so you have to really look at the warning signs, and love is not supposed to hurt, number one. That's a big thing. And when you are abused and the first time something happens, there's always excuses made. The guy usually cries and what, blah, 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 and then girls feel bad and they try again and they pull you back in.
Manipulation.
But before we even get to that, I want to learn a little bit more about you. I want our listeners to learn to get to know you a little bit more. So tell us a little bit, where were you born, about your family, your upbringing. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I was born in Pennsylvania. Okay. I lived there for a very short time. It's like a town of like 5,000 people. People listening, if you have heard of Yingling beer, it's like, have you heard of it?
It's delicious.
I knew the guy would know. But I was born in that town.
Okay.
And so my parents said, you know, there's no future for us here. So they packed up. My parents both work for the post office. My dad just recently retired. And I'm very fortunate for that because we just went home for 2 weeks. And I was like, if we would have stayed here, I would not have the privileged life that I have. I'm not going to say I'm spoiled, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I've been given the best of everything. I went to private school. I graduated from Nolan Catholic High School. I have a degree from hospitality management from Ole Miss University. I have a 12-year-old son. His name's Taylan. And that's my pride and joy. And
how did that come about? When did you meet his dad?
You know him, don't you? Kind of. Tyler?
Yeah.
So, just like, you know, I was a goody-goody all through school, and then I started going out, and then, you know, every night it was either Cowboys or Have a Nice Day Cafe, and he was always there, and I was the shy type of girl.
So Cowboys was
in Arlington.
In Arlington.
Which is how Denise and I met.
Yes.
So I've known Denise.
We'd be shaking our booties. Yeah.
So but
it was love at first sight. That's my girl. Yeah.
That was a 18... Like you,
and
guys,
you were a Maverick dancer at the time.
Yeah. It was 18 and up.
Right. So,
because I knew her ex.
This has always been crazy to me. Being from Europe, you can go anywhere you want to go. You can choose the places you want to go. here in Texas, they have specified 18 and up clubs, mm-hmm. which then this is one place in this whole town. Everybody comes there. It is just crazy to
me.
Well,
and we laugh too because, I mean, really side note, but you used to drop Jenna and I yes. off when we were like 16 because mm-hmm. on like Sundays or Thursdays they had like
Sunday
they had teen night. So you could go
and then Wednesday night was college night and then yeah. Thursday it was like regular night but yeah. they would still let the people always come on Wednesdays come in on Thursdays
yeah so that's how we met mm-hmm. that long ago.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah,
we had a lot of mutual friends like Keith Shockey and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Yeah, we had a lot of mutual friends. Yeah,
I've not heard that name in a long time.
Yeah, that's how I got involved with Justin and yeah stuff. Yeah,
because they were BFFs. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
So back.
Okay, so that's how you met your...
We're like, what, 17, 16?
Gosh. 18.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Crazy.
Hey, friendships like that don't come around. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah, so I'm blessed.
Even if you don't see each other a whole lot, still a bond.
I haven't seen her in probably 5 years. Yeah,
but it's like no time.
No, that's I feel like I saw her yesterday. Yeah. Like... That's a true friendship, you know? So like I told you, I met her before we started going out to Dallas and all that stuff. And that's why I would always tell people, Marcella is a real deal. Like, she's a real sweet girl, you know? And you know how Dallas people are. They'll be like, oh, she's not just you, but anyway.
Right.
Oh, she's snobby. She's snobby. I'm like, no, you don't know Marcella like I do. That is the sweetest girl ever. You did a good job.
Well, thank you.
All your kids.
I try.
Yeah. Yeah. So
strict.
That's okay. I mean, makes you the person that you are, and you're very dedicated and very on your toes. And I look up to you a lot, Marcella.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
So you met your
son's father. Yes.
Okay. There. And what kind of relationship did you guys have?
Well, I was very insecure about myself. I was never the type of girl like Marcella who could get a guy easily, like beautiful from the get go. Like, I had braces and, you know, glasses and all that stuff. And he was the first guy that was like, wow, you know? And then I approached him. I've never been shy to approach a guy ever. Like, I have that confidence. And so we just started seeing each other every night at the same place, you know? So it's gonna sound bad to me, but like, we just started like hooking up. Like, that's all it was, like just friends with benefits, whatever. And I didn't care because A, I had a guy that like spent time with me, took me on dates, you know, stuff like that. Well, that lasted for about 3 years. And then I found out I was pregnant.
What?
Oh, wow. But so you were never like boyfriend, girlfriend?
Okay. Well, we never had a label on it. Okay. But if I was at Cowboys or if I was at another place, like, girls knew, Denise is here, don't even bother.
Okay.
Like, and I even switched schools. I was going to school in Arlington at TCC, switched schools because the nights that I would stay with him after the club, mm-hmm. I would be in Euless. So I switched to Northeast Campus so I didn't have to get up so early to go to South Arlington. Mm-hmm. So you're not dating somebody if you're not switching school. You know, you're dating somebody if you're switching schools.
You're basically together. You just didn't.
Yeah, we just didn't put a label on it. You know, I mean, we weren't seeing other people, but we were, because I know that for a fact because I was with him every day.
Right.
And then we had actually broken up. He moved away for a job. I was devastated. I started dancing and stuff like that. And dancing. So. Stripping.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Where at?
Everywhere, like clubhouse. But that's just only because that's the Dallas scene. That's what all the girls did. And I was, you know, working at Palm Beach Tan. I had regular jobs, office jobs, but none of my friends were available to go out at night. I'm like, what are you doing that you can't? Let's go to Dallas. Let's go. Oh, girl, you need to start. So I started doing that. Oh. Well, he came back into town and I had extensions. I looked totally different. Like, nothing against dancers. I found like that kind of dancing.
Right.
I found myself, like, even though I had fake nails and like my extensions down here, it brought me out of my shell, mm-hmm. you know? And I've been a professional dancer like Marcella my whole life, like ballet, point, everything.
Oh,
like
really?
Contemporary. Oh yes. I went to Katz Creative Arts Theater in Arlington. Like, that was my passion. If what I know now, I wish I would have been able to try out for So You Think You Can Dance, because I'm not tuning more, but I'm good like that. Like, I love to dance. And I've told you that. I want to come to your studio. I want to just dance with you. I don't even care if we do anything
improv.
For it. Yeah, exactly. And so it wasn't even about going and making money. It was like being on that stage and just dancing, like mm-hmm. not even taking my clothes, just being up there and like being free. And I made more money dancing on stage. I would do routines and stuff, like costumes and stuff. And they're like, you should just go like be a dance teacher. I'm like, I want to, you know, but it got me out of my shell. But I was depressed because he was gone. Mm-hmm. Well, he ended up moving back 3 months later and we got back together immediately. And then I ended up getting pregnant.
Okay.
Well, after I got pregnant, I told him I wasn't going to have it, that like, because we were fighting. I was like, I'm not going to do this. Like, this is not going to happen. And then, not gonna lie, I tried to have an abortion, and it didn't work out. Oh, I took the pill. Yeah. So Talen's my miracle baby.
Oh, what is?
Yeah. Yeah. I did not know that. No. So I'll be straight up honest. So I took the pill that a girl from work told me to go see this doctor. She gave me the pills.
Is that a morning after pill?
No.
It's an abortion pill.
Yeah, an abortion pill. Instead of like, because I told myself I would not do the surgery. Like, to me, because it's natural. To me, and I know people are probably going to write in and say, oh, that girl, whatever's crazy. But it's a woman's choice. That's how I feel.
I'm sure you're not the only one. No, so okay, you're just not. The only.
So all you people that are listening are like, ugh. No, it's a woman's choice. Up, it's my body. Mm-hmm. That's what I chose. I was 21 years old. My parents always told me, they found out I was dancing. They said, you can dance. You can go out to Dallas, come home messed up, whatever. But if you get pregnant, you're out of here. That was their thing. So
why that?
It beats the heck out of me.
Random.
So, you know, I respected my parents. I was like, wow, they're letting me dance. Like, you know, because I was making good money. They weren't complaining. I was helping them pay their bills. Like, I had a car. I was financially stable, you know, and I had my degree. Like, I was going to school. I was doing my thing, you know.
And you were living with them?
With my parents.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And so, but they knew who he was. And so back in the day, you have insurance till you're 21, right? Mm-hmm. So I got pregnant the week of my birthday, my 21st birthday, like the night, because he was born on July 19th and my birthday's the 20th. So you do the mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so I went to this doctor and she gave me a pill. She said, come back in 2 weeks and I'll check. She told me that my baby was dead, but that my cervix was small, so that I needed to take the pills again to pass it. Yes. I could have probably sued this doctor, but when I tried to find her, she had shut down her. She was an OBGYN. She delivered babies and everything, but she also provided it. She's like, and she told me at the beginning, the first time, you're a little too far behind, you know, along. I was like 7 weeks to give it to you, but I'm going to give it to you anyways. Yes. So then,
oh my gosh,
I took the pills again. I was like, I wasn't going to tell my mom. I like locked myself in my bedroom, but it was to the point I was so scared because it hurt so bad. I had to tell my mom. I was like, Mom, I took the abortion pill. I'm really sick. I was vomiting. She gave me pain pills, but it wasn't working. And my mom was like, you deserve everything you're feeling right now. I have no sympathy for you. Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I thought this is what you would want, because I don't want to, you know, disrespect you. I know I already disrespected you, but I don't, you know, I want the baby, but I know I'm not going to have your help and you're going to kick me out if I keep it, you know?
But you're not 15.
I was 21.
Yeah. And like, you're not in high school. Yeah.
Exactly. I guess their idea was they didn't want to, they just got done raising me. They didn't want, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I was still living at home, but I was going to school. So anyways, so I went, so passed a lot of stuff. I thought nobody prepares you for that. So I was like, okay, I'm good. So then, in that time when I went to go verify that I was pregnant, I went to this clinic. I said, look, I have cash. Do not run my insurance. But they wouldn't see you unless you had insurance. And I did. I said, I will pay cash for everything. Please do not run my insurance. And they told the girl that sent me, said, as long as you can show that you have insurance, they won't run it. They just want to make sure that you have, if in case something happens, they can use your insurance. Long story short, so they used my insurance for a pregnancy test. So I was at my friend Kelly's house and my mom calls. She's like, so you're pregnant. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, how could they possibly know that? She's like, oh, well, we just got a bill from the insurance company for a pregnancy test.
But this is after you took the pill?
Yes.
So then you go to the doctor. So you do all that stuff. You think that you're not pregnant anymore.
Right.
You go get a test and it comes back pregnant.
No, worse. So, so then my mom's like, well, you know what that means? You got to get out. Well, my friend Kelly, like, I'm crying. My friend Kelly's like, she can move in with me. I'm going to take care of her. Like, how dare your parents treat you like that? I had no say in it. So she called two of her guy friends. They took me to my parents' house and I was moved out within like an hour.
What?
And so,
And I know Kelly also. Okay. Do you talk to her anymore?
She's basically halfway in the ground.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Almost dead.
Kelly is the one that Ryan was telling you about the other day at the pool.
Oh, that beautiful Ryan girl.
Oh, you're so cool.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't talked to him in a while.
He helped her. Like, that beautiful recently. Girl.
She used to be beautiful. That was my best friend. One thing I can say about her, she paid all my bills my whole pregnancy. Paid my phone bill, paid my car payment, let me live with her rent free. My car payment would be due because my dad was like, my dad talked to me while I was pregnant, but my mom didn't have anything to do with me. And
That's crazy.
Yeah, my mom just dropped me. And so my dad
would call. Are you the only one?
I'm an only child. And my dad would be like, your car payment's due was like $400 because I was dancing. So I just got a brand new Altima. And Kelly was like, don't you worry about it. I'll pay it. So I would go to bed and I was her assistant. I would drive her her sugar daddy's houses, and because she was a prostitute. I'm not afraid to say that. At least we didn't say her last name. But anybody who hears this is going to know
her. Well, yeah, because you guys were so close. I mean, that was your best friend. And that's how I met Kelly, with Denise.
Like, I owe her my life. Like, if it wasn't for her, I would have probably been living in a cardboard box on the side of the street.
But you know what I'm saying? What about her now? I mean, she's
got into heroin and started, I mean, long story, not to get into her drama, but she tells me she was at a gas station by Zaza, and she got out of her car, and these guys approached her and said they would help her pump her gas. Well, she was an idiot. She got out. Well, while one went to pay, she got out, and they got out of the truck and opened up her passenger door, stole her Gucci purse, had like $1,500 that she had just made off a sugar daddy. Became a big thing. They ended up kidnapping her.
Beat the crap out of her.
She was on Tyra Banks about it. What? Got hit in the face with a brick. Lost all her two front teeth. Yeah, she has a kid now.
This is a huge story.
It is. Yeah, we should delve. This is a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, it's a whole nother one, but I wanted to ask you about
her. Yeah, she's been on Tyra Banks twice about it.
Uh-huh. What?
It was horrible. They almost broke, they broke her whole face.
And you remember how she was on the dirty all the time? Uh-huh. She would put herself in. I know Nick Ritchie, and I know I'm good friends with his wife, Shane. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he always asks me, where's Lepra? I want to know what's going on with her. And I'm like, you don't want to. He's like, that sucks, because she was a beautiful girl.
They just showed me the pictures.
I always told her, get into modeling. She's crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's just not there. And she's just gotten into, she went to rehab in San Antonio for about a year. And she was getting godly. She was getting with God. I was so proud of her.
How long ago was that?
Like 2 years ago. Okay. And then she got out, got pregnant. She has a son named Landon. She does not have custody of him. And the baby daddy has custody, but she told me, he said, you're gonna get pregnant or I'm leaving you. Like, kind of like, I don't know. I don't believe everything she says, but like, that's what she told me. And she never gets to see him. Well, her parents, there's no dad. He's not around. She's always had daddy issues. So her mom called me one day, this was like last year, please take Kelly. Me and her brother cannot deal with her anymore. And her brother just got married. I said, you know what? She was there for me when I needed her, bring her over. So I was living in a 2-bedroom apartment. My roommate had one room, and me and Taylor were in another, but I could always make a bed out. Like, he has a, what are those, one on top of the other? Bunk beds. So I just took them apart and put one in the living room. I was like, look, Aunt Kelly, because Kelly is supposed to be his godmother. She was in the delivery room when he was born.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how close I was with her. I said, I'm here for you. But then she started getting like crazy, and she would go out, drink, come home, bring a different guy home every night, thinking she could, the other bunk bed next to me, she could bring him in bed with her. I'm like, And then she would like knock on my roommate's door and start talking crap about me, bringing up past stuff that I did that stopped us being friends at one point. I'm like, if you're gonna be staying in my home, bringing up past stuff from 10 years ago that you're still upset about, then why am I letting you in my home?
Right.
And finally I had to call her mom and say, I can't take care of her. I tried.
And do you talk to her now?
No, she deleted me from Facebook.
Yeah, I would. It's really sad, I think, because I kind of showed, I mean, to look at her when we were 18 and then now you're like, how, I mean, she was one of the most, I told you, one of the most beautiful
girls in Dallas. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just,
besides you, Marcella.
I just find it very, very sad that there's nothing anyone can do for someone like that.
Everybody's tried. You don't understand. Tried. Yeah, everybody's tried. And you know, her mom, when she was in court, because she was dating a drug dealer, they got caught in Austin, and she had all this drugs taped to her. And she took the blame for it. And she was in Austin jail for like 6 months. And her mom went to court and said, please keep my daughter in jail, because if you don't, my daughter's going to die.
Yeah.
And they kept her. She was in jail for like 9 months. Like,
oh, my God. Well, and I was trying to tell you last weekend, whatever, her ex-boyfriend or boyfriend at the time was the one who got shot on Mockingbird. Oh, I know.
Because of Jeff. I was close with Jeff.
Yeah. Because that was bad. That was horrible.
Did he get killed?
Yeah.
It was a drug deal gone bad.
Mm-hmm. You know him?
Chad.
Chad
J-Rob is the guy's name. Him and Kelly lived with me and Tyler. And let me tell you this. He was a great guy. Taylan loved him, my son. He was a good person, but he just had shitty ways. You know what I'm saying?
How long ago was this?
5 years ago, 2011.
I was still with Andy.
It was February 16th, 2011. It happened at Burger Street right there. They called it the Burger Street Murders. And
my goodness, you guys.
Yeah, and I had just been in New York, and my son's father was really close with him too, and we were always hanging out, and I had lost another friend, AJ, while I was out of town on a motorcycle accident. So when I got home, his funeral was the next day, And the last text message I got from Chad, he said, hey, you're back home. I missed you. Why don't you and Taylan and Tyler come over and let's hang out? I said, I'm sorry. I said, I lost somebody over the, you know, the past couple of days. His funeral's tomorrow. I'm not really feeling it. He was killed in a motorcycle accident. And that's the last thing I said to Chad. 24 hours later, Chad was dead.
Oh my goodness.
And I got the first phone call. Like his, because I used to date his brother, Gavin. And he called me and he's like, Chad's dead. And he came and stayed at my house that night. And my house became like the vigil. Like all the girls drove to my house. And like, you know, I was like, please, Gavin's really upset, you know. But Gavin talked to me and he's like, I grabbed him right before he hit the ground. And he would have survived. But the thing was, is when he ran, it hit, got him in the back right here. And then he was running backwards. It got him here. And then he turned around and went under the awning at the drive through, and the guy shot him again and went through the same thing and he bled out.
This is all over the news. I mean, you could actually.
It was in the Dallas Observer, yeah. Like they pictures.
Pictures, yeah.
Mm. Wow.
And he had a new her name, right? On his neck, right?
Cassie.
Yeah.
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 And he left behind a son, Dallas, who just turned 9.
Oh my goodness.
I was at the hospital the day that he was born, and I just remember seeing Chad's face. And like, and I have a picture. I'll have to show you after the podcast. And Chad was in the at the hospital when I was giving birth. He was dating Mallory at the time.
I remember that too.
And Mallory brought him up there. And they didn't have, him and Gavin both came up. They didn't have to. So I have this picture right before I started to push, and it's Chad standing right above me.
Oh my goodness.
So like I have it in a frame.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's my guardian angel because like he didn't have to cut, like a girl's in labor. Like we were friends, but who wants to be there, you know? But he came and I have the picture and we're all standing by my bed and he's like right behind me.
That's so sweet.
Like that's my most ultimate treasure. And I go to his grave when I can. He's buried really far out. So whenever I pass by, I always stop by, always.
Yeah, there's just a lot of like drama
with Dallas.
And trauma and Dallas and that the drugs and the drug deals and the shootings and the
that was our group though.
Abuse and, yeah, it's just so crazy.
Wow. It's so crazy.
So let's go back to your story a little bit okay, more. Yeah.
So I didn't mean to get emotional about that.
No,
it's just like Chad and I, you know, yeah, like
that's funny.
And what I want, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but like J Rob wasn't a bad person. He just had bad motives. And it's just like, I don't blame him for what happened, but it's like, it just sucks. They didn't even know each other up until that point. The guy that was living with me, I'll tell you later, you know him, mm-hmm, introduced him to him, and it just worked off that way. And yeah, he did talk him into it. I was like, yeah, I know this guy, but the guy's free now. The guy that shot and killed Chad,
really?
he said self-defense and he got out of it. He's free now. Yeah. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
You're living with that friend.
Mm-hmm.
Now you giving birth. Is the dad in the picture, mm-hmm, at this point?
Yes. So. It was a very emotional pregnancy. Me and him were super like best friends before, you know, we were together all the time. Like, you know, I was happy, but I settled. You know what I'm saying? Like now that I'm older, if I could go back and tell my old self, like, Denise, you're so much better than that. Like you're better than a friend with benefits, you know, like you should have, mm-hmm, put your foot down a long time ago and said, let's be together, mm-hmm, you know? But I've always, like I said, been that girl that never got guys' attention. So I was happy with what I had, you know,
a little bit of attention.
Exactly. And so during my whole pregnancy, I didn't have to work. Like I said, Kelly supported me. Tyler was selling drugs.
That's the dad.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was selling drugs, cocaine. And I mean, he was just partying all the time. He never went to a doctor's appointment with me until like the week before, like 4 days before Taylan was born. It was like my last, I went to see a specialist because I was like a high risk or something like that. And so, but he would like throw me a couple hundred here, a couple hundred there if I needed something. But I had insurance, so that was mostly covered. But if I had like to go, when I went for my glucose thing, I had to pay cash for that. He would help me with that. And then Kelly actually got me a job. So I was getting $500 a week driving her to one of her sugar daddy's houses. And so I was
what a job.
I was driving a BMW and he lived like an hour and a half away, but I wasn't going to say anything. I got his butler made me a 3-course meal and all I did was driver.
It
was
like,
he had to live. I mean, it was a dream job, you know, I didn't have to do, I mean, let her do her thing, whatever, that's her cup of tea. But I just went and drove her because he bought her a brand new Mercedes and she wrecked it 4 days after she got it. No, 5 days after she got it, because she would drink when she was over at his house. And he's like, you are not driving over here anymore. you better get a driver. I'll pay or take a taxi. I'll pay for it. She's like, oh, well, my roommate's pregnant. She can't work. She'll drive me. He said, tell her I'll pay her $500 a week to drive. So I was making $2,000 a week. So I supported myself and bought all my baby stuff. Like, and I was only thinking about my kid, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I was fine. And I saved money too. So yeah. And then Tyler, meantime, I told you my, with my dancing at the clubs. Well, he started frequenting these clubs and started dating one of my close girlfriends from the club, who you know, Natalia.
You know that person?
Yeah, Natalia. If you saw
her, I need a picture.
She Puerto Rican Natalia, which is funny because that was my dance name. So like, if I showed you a picture,
show me a picture after.
So yeah, so we were super good friends, and then, I mean, we would go to work together all the time, and then I got pregnant, couldn't work. And then come to find out she was living with him. And yeah, but come to find out she was just using him for the candy. And yeah. And but he
the
was
the candy
still,
meaning drugs?
Sorry. I don't know how it works on a podcast. Like, can anything go?
You can say
anything. Okay. She just doesn't know the
And I know it'll get edited if I wanted to. So yes. But yeah, so she was like, and he was still seeing me. I was pregnant, like I'm not gonna go try to meet a guy. So he was still seeing me. He'd come see me, but I was like so hurt because I was like, me and her were so close. Like, we'd go to work at night and then we'd go to her apartment and sleep, get up, eat, and go to work again, you know? And then next thing I know, she's seeing him. Like, but then even though I realized it was just for the free goodies, it didn't matter. Like, how could you do that to me, you know?
Right.
He was seeing somebody, right? Oh, I didn't even, you guys were asking about whenever I tried to have the abortion. So I went back and Kelly had appointment to see her gyno. I was like, it's been 2 months, I still haven't got my period. And she's like, come with me. He said he'll check you out. And he was her one of her sugar daddies. Uh-huh. So we would,
gynecologist?
Yeah.
How convenient.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna shock you with some story. Like, how people, I mean, it'll make you think about society nowadays. So
was this particular gynecologist married?
Yes. Of course. With kids.
Of course.
And so but he had a nice, you know, I mean, it wasn't like a janky doctor. He was like really good doctor.
I'm sure.
So I was like, okay, like I need to know what's going on, you know? So we go there and I will never forget this. It will never leave my mind. So I'm laying on, he's like, when's the last time you had your period? I said, well, I tried to have this, miscarriage is what I like to call it, about 2 months ago. And he put the thing on my gel on my stomach and you hear a heartbeat. I was like, is that my heartbeat? He goes, nope. You're 5 months pregnant with a boy.
5 months.
Just like that. I didn't even show, had no. Yeah. I got pregnant like the first, like October 20th, 21st. And it was right after Christmas, like October, November. I was 4 months, going on 5 months. And he just clear as day, like he was telling me I had the flu. He was like, yep. He was like, you're about almost 5 months pregnant and you're having a boy. Didn't even ask me if I wanted to know. And then he was like, do you want to see? I was like, no, turn it off. Because I had no idea.
Right.
And then here I am thinking, she told me my son had passed. Like, and then the guilt sets in. Like, how could I do that? Like, my son's in trouble. Like, you know, but as a young girl who's frightened, who have your parents in your head telling you, you get pregnant, you got to go. And, but it.
So you thought that the baby had died. You didn't know it was a son at that back then. Right.
And
right.
I had no feeling in my stomach. Yeah. You know, I wasn't gaining weight. I was still skinny, you know, I wasn't having any cravings, nothing, like nothing at all, you know? And I told him, I was like, I've taken this pill twice, you know, and I've read on it and it says, if you even consume that pill once, you're supposed to terminate the pregnancy. My son was born perfectly healthy, 6 pounds. He was a little light, but that's normal. He was 6 pounds, 17 ounces, 21 inches long, born on his due date, healthy. I mean, wow. He has ADHD now, but I mean,
don't we all?
Yeah, right. But besides that, he's the most amazing thing ever. And I feel like he had a purpose to be here, you know, because there's no way that any fetus would ever survive that, you know?
Even, that's crazy.
They say that 95%, even though it was too late that I took it that late in the pregnancy, 95% of pregnancies, the kids that are born, that the parent has taken that, have some form of either abnormal like limb or something, or mental issue, and my son has none of that. So I'm very blessed.
That's unbelievable.
And I get him, and I'll tell you, I've never really told that story before because it doesn't exactly put me in the right light, but I am about a woman's body, and maybe somebody out there is going through the same thing right now where they're pregnant and they're like, man, you know, like I need to have an abortion, but you know what? You don't have to. My parents, let me tell you, this is what changes the story all around, my testimony. My parents said, you know, my mom didn't talk to me. I found out in January that I was pregnant and I was due in July. I didn't talk to my mom from January to July. We went on a trip to New York because it had already been paid for. She didn't speak to me the whole time in New York. My dad still was there for me. He would like leave like an envelope of $100 underneath the mat and be like, go outside or whatever. Or he'll call me and be like, are you okay? Don't tell mom I called you, you know? Like he was still there for me, you know what I'm saying?
Crazy.
But now you would see my son with my parents. You would never think my parents did that to me.
Of course, right.
And I
they
do
probably
hold,
love him.
Oh,
so
are
much.
You kidding me? He's like
it's the, always
he's
like that.
Me, kid, who? I'm not their child. That's their child. You yeah. know. And he is the best of everything. And I'm just like I praise God every day because I thought I was going to grow up without him ever knowing his grandparents. And they would love it if he would move home. You know,
yeah.
like
yeah.
He and he. I live a block away from my parents, so he splits time between me and my parents. But he's like my dad's best friend and like
oh,
it's
sweet.
Just so great, you know. And I know anytime I need a sitter, I've never had to have Taylan with a babysitter.
That's
I've
awesome.
Never had to put him in daycare. And, you know, and that's with my parents working for the post office 40 hours a week plus overtime. They've always provided the best for Taylan.
That's awesome.
I'm
that's
so blessed.
Cool.
I'm very blessed.
That's cool. Awesome. So now so the relationship with your son's dad, though, mm-hmm. was that abusive at all?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was.
Mm-hmm. I was just so in love. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was my first, like, real love. You know how it is. Like, mm-hmm. and I will say, after the baby was born, he changed. I was living with Kelly, and then me and him started, like, seeing each other again. Like, of course, because I had the baby. He always wanted to have the baby at his house. And I'd be like, well, I'm coming with. Like, I'm breastfeeding. So I would go stay with him at his house. And he was living John Kirby at the time and Mallory.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that was awkward because John is like a brother to me or was like a brother to me. And so I'm like, how are you? I was like, you're supposed to be like a brother to me and you got my baby daddy living with you. Like, and he was like, it's okay. Maybe it'll work out. But so I ended up moving out with Kelly and being with him. Moved home for a short period of time because my parents just knew the situation with Kelly. Taylan didn't need to be around that because I was mending it with my parents. And then I remember Tyler picked me up one day and was like, let's go look at apartments. And we found one and he was like, so you're going to move in with me, right? I felt like he was proposing to me. I was like,
so
seriously?
Excited.
And he was like, yeah. So then we were together for 5 years till we broke up.
Wow.
5 years. And it had to ups and downs. And like, I can't say like it was the best love other because I don't know. I've never been in a serious love like that. Like that was my first adult love relationship. But we went through it all. We went through our ups, our downs, but we still were there for each other. Like
but,
no matter
ups and downs, like a normal relationship, or
oh,
was
yeah.
the abuse? That's the
yeah. That so it was good in that point. Like we struggled like with money and like normal people do. He was in between jobs. He went from like waiting tables at Texas Roadhouse, but then selling coke on the side. And I told him he needed to get out of that because it just wasn't working out. I was working two jobs with my degree and then I was working part-time at a tanning salon. I was like, let's figure something out where we both can have regular jobs and be home for our kid, you know? Like he would be home with Taylan during the day and then I'd be home with, but we'd never see each other. So then he got a job with a traveling company, which like, you know, you get a call, hey, if you come sit through the seminar, you can get a free mm-hmm. vacation. He banked doing that. Like, I mean, we lived in a townhouse, a three-story townhouse in Dallas over off Coit. I was a stay-at-home mom. I didn't have to work. Like, it was great. But his problem was, like, when we would fight, and then this is, like, I would tell my mom, he would, like, force me to have sex with him. And to people listening, like...
After the fight? During the
fight?
Yeah,
after a fight. Like, after we'd fight or after a night of drinking, he's still... he's not an alcoholic anymore, but he's... had problems. Let's just say he has 40 WIs. Like he started to get a drinking problem and he'd always be like, it's your fault. I drink because it's your fault. And you know, that's normal for guys to blame it on the woman. And so.
No, it's not normal though.
Well,
I'm just
from
trying
stories
to make,
that I've heard from, you know.
No, guys do that, but it's not normal. Let's keep you, that.
Yes,
like,
I'm sorry.
No. I'm glad you're saying it. I just want to make sure that we're
I have to catch myself because it was normal to me.
Even
right.
when you're saying it, it seems so normal, but
right.
it is absolutely not normal.
Right.
So.
I know, because they get in your brain and they make mm-hmm. you, it's confusing. So then even
right.
like for you and like Amanda, it happened too.
Yes.
Almost still protecting them. And
yes.
it's crazy because your brain is just so used to like
yeah.
them in there.
Right.
Like this is normal. And you're like, wait, like someone like my mom, she's never been in that except
Ever.
With me. Watching me, but she's like, that's not normal. Like, That's still not normal. You guys are giving them a pass.
And like, the sad part is it's so common nowadays, mm-hmm. and it's so closet.
That's why I want to make sure that everyone knows.
And that's why we're here today.
Yeah. Not normal. That's why we're here, exactly. Because they want you to believe that's normal. They want to blame it on you.
Right.
It's not your fault.
And he's actually been arrested for holding me hostage against my will in our apartment. We were out drinking one night. And we got home and he's like, I want to have sex. And I was like, I don't want to have sex with you. Sometimes, you know, you just don't want to have sex. It wasn't that I was tired. He was drunk. I didn't want to have sex. And he started pushing me on the bed by my arms. And I was like, if you do not let go of me, I'm going to scream. And he goes, just fucking scream then. So I screamed bloody murder and he let go of me and I hauled ass out of the apartment. Well, as I was walking out of the apartment, my neighbor heard me and he was like, get in here. So I got in. He's like, are you okay? I was like, yeah. And then you hear 10, 4, 5, 6, 9. And I was like, the cops can't, like, I didn't call him, obviously. And he's like, I was like, did you call him? He goes, no. So obviously somebody else did. And so I walk outside, I said, officer, it's my apartment, and like, what's going on? And I explained to them, and then they saw the red marks, and it wasn't like prints, but it was, you could tell that I had been forcefully pushed. Like, what's wrong? I was like, he just wanted to have sex. And it's embarrassing to talk to a cop about that. And I was like, he wanted to have sex and I didn't want to, and he kept pushing me on the bed saying, no, we're gonna have sex. And they said, okay, well, he does have a warrant, shocking, but he is going to get a ticket for, because it is against the law to hold you against your will in your apartment. And I said, okay, and he went off to jail. And of course, his family always blamed me. It's your fault. You shouldn't even have the cops involved. Like, you guys could have dealt with that. I said, no, your son's a drunk. Like, I can only hold so much. And that, unfortunately, was not the last time. He's been arrested one other time for putting his hands on me. Like, and that's the thing. Like, my mom said, with what I'm going to tell later about that other story, did you not see the signs? Yes, I was. What I went through, what I'm going to talk about later, was totally different from just getting hands put on me. Tyler never slapped me. Tyler never punched me. Tyler never did hair, nothing like that. One time, I'd already missed 2 days of work because I was sick. He went out to go sell, and I wake up, and it's my phone, and it's Jeremiah saying, hey, can you come get me from insomnia because I can't drive? I was like, wait, what time is it? Oh my God, it's 7 o'clock. I was like, where's Tyler? I have to be at work right now. So I'm like getting up, and so I'm blowing up his phone, and it's friend answering. He's like, Tyler can't come to the phone right now. I go, yes, he can. Get him on the phone. So I said, bring him home now. I got to go to work. I was already late. Told him I was going to be late. He comes in, one person on each side of him, and he is like out. So I call his mom, because my parents always said, do not call us anymore. We're not helping you and Tyler. You two figure it out. Which they were giving me tough love, which I appreciate now, mm-hmm. where his parents are like, that's their golden son. Oh, you know? So she's like, well, just let him fall asleep. The baby was there. Let him fall asleep, pack a bag, get the baby and come to Plano. And I was like, okay.
So who said that?
His mom.
Oh, his mom.
His okay. mom. You can just stay here. So I started packing bag. Well, he goes and grabs the baby and puts the baby in bed with him. Mind you, he's foaming at the mouth. Oh my God. Yeah, like can't talk two words together. And I'm just like, okay, keep it together, because the kid's involved now, right? And so I like, our vanity was like in the bedroom, mm-hmm. kind of. And so I had to turn on a light to see my stuff. And I don't know what I was thinking. I should have just grabbed a couple clothes out of the closet and left. But he had the baby in his hand, so I was waiting for him to pass out so I could just grab the baby. Because once he's out on a drunk stupor, he's mm-hmm. going to be out. And he's like, turn the effing light out. And I was like, okay, give me a sec. He's like, so he gets up out of bed, like basically pushes the baby aside. He's like, I said now. And I was like, okay. He goes, where are you going? I go, I'm going to your mom's. He goes, no, the fuck you ain't. Grabs me by my shirt, pulls me forward and throws me back. And so the cabinets are down lower, mm-hmm. but he threw me so hard that when I fell down, my whole back broke all the cabinets off the hinges. Luckily, by the grace of God, an Arlington police officer lives upstairs above us, and he just walked in the door and he heard me scream. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't even know this. We'd been living there for a year. Tyler had a shotgun underneath the bed. And so there was a knock on the door, and Tyler was like, I go, I bet that's the cop upstairs. And I'm like, please let it be. Sure enough. So I run out and I run with the baby. I grab the baby immediately. My back's killing me, but you go in that mommy mode where you're like, get the kid, run out of the house. The cop standing at the door with his gun drawn. He's like, Tyler, put your hands up. Tyler, dumbass, walks back in the house to go get the gun in his underwear. He goes, go up into my apartment, lock the door, and do not open it until it's another officer. So I'm hearing all this commotion downstairs. They come to me and they're like, yeah, he had a shotgun. He tried to like bring it towards us, blah, blah. He didn't point it at us. Had he done that, he would have been in more trouble, but he had it in his arm, like trying to be, because that's him. He tries to be all masculine and he's a pussy. But trying to make y'all laugh, yeah. Lighten the situation. So they're like, yeah, he got his gun. And do you know whose gun that is? I was like, I didn't even know there was a gun in the house. Like, are you kidding me? We have a brand new baby. Like, what? I wouldn't allow that. But it was his dad. So then they call his parents. His parents show up. He had a warrant again. So they took him for that and then took him for domestic violence. And my dumbass didn't press charges.
Well, I think something you said like way earlier, you were like, oh, but Tyler wasn't someone who put his hands on, like he didn't slap me or hit me. And I think that that's a misconception.
It is abuse.
Hearing it from you, because they say if you are married or in a relationship, if your husband and husband, whatever, try to force you to have sex, that is still considered rape, whether or not, like if you say no
and still do it consensually, still rape.
It's
yes.
still not okay, and you can get in trouble for that. So I think that's one. I think pushing, shoving, I think shaking. Now it's one thing if you're attacking someone and they're like, stop, like trying mm-hmm. to restrain you from being crazy. That's not what I'm talking about. But emotional abuse, physical, like all of that, like everything you're talking about, that's still like, so yes, you were in an abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean,
but I didn't see it at the time, right. Because I was like, we have never a kid. Do. He finally wants to be with me now. You know, and it's always
none
been,
of that was healthy. Like, no, the drug I know. Dealing. The,
yeah. I mean, I was participating in it. Right. And the crazy thing was when the cops came, they like had me in the bathroom and I had it reenacted or whatever. And his parents showed up and there was a Nike shoebox of amount of coke in there, and they didn't even look in there. Had they found that, Tyler would have been in jail for distribution or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like I just kept eyeing it because I knew what was in that box, and I was like, oh. And then before his parents left and the cops left, well, when the cops left, I said, hey, will you just get this out of the house? And they're like, I was like, don't act shocked, like, you know. And they're like, what is it? I'm like, you don't know what that is. And so they took it out of the house. I was like, I'm done. Like, I'm not gonna allow you to do that anymore.
I need to say something really quick. Yeah, like I am.
She's boggled.
Like, I've never really met you, known you, mm-hmm. and I'm listening, and I'm sitting here, and I'm listening to you speak, and I'm seeing a very beautiful young woman that's, like, well-educated, well-spoken, and it boggles my mind that you would even
right.
waste a moment of your time with someone like that.
I'm a smart person, you know?
You're super smart, but that's what I'm seeing, and it's I think that's where the most important thing comes in with women in general. Like, I think you think not enough of yourself, mm-hmm. and that's why you allow men and guys like that to do that to you, because like Marcella just said, none of that is okay. None of it. Drug dealing. No, girls, if you see that, don't stay in that relationship. You don't need to. This is completely not what's planned for you, or what God has in mind for you, or what your life should look like, because with that comes all that.
But you think you can change a guy. Like every yeah, girl thinks, I can change him. Yeah. I got this. Yeah.
Well, I think it comes from, and I think it's something you said way back, like it is it's an insecurity thing, first of all. Also, you're super, super young. And then these guys, I feel like, know and how to find that girl. Like, they see it and they can, like, smell it
the
out.
The vulnerability yeah. in that girl. Yeah.
And the naive and, like, the... Not that you and I are weak, but that part where we almost like, and then it's always so small. So Katie on episode 50 mm-hmm. I think, or 51, says that when you look at stuff through rose colored glasses, the red flags, or when you look at, what did she say? Like when you see the red flags through rose colored glasses, it just looks like flags. So when we put like, oh, that's okay. Well, he did that. And we always say on here, too, is that it starts so small. And you have to recognize, like, you can get someone else. And I think you said in the very beginning, he's the first guy who gave you attention. First of all, the whole relationship was fucked before you got pregnant.
Yeah, exactly.
He was a friends with benefits. And I'm sure, and correct me if I'm wrong, you would have loved to put that label on there.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
But he didn't let you do that.
Yeah.
Because he's a dick.
But I never knew anything else.
Of course.
And so he was the first guy that ever was like, I like you, you're beautiful, like gave me compliments, took me on dates. And I was like, okay. So I settled because I've never known. I wasn't that girl that
and
dated
here's
different
the
guys.
Lesson.
Yeah,
like,
that
right
is, the
here
lesson.
Is a huge lesson. Yeah. Like, this is, for me, it's so mind boggling because I have known it because of Marcella. And then I see someone like you, and it's mind-boggling to me how it ever even gets there. Like, why? Maybe that we have to ask the question, why do you think you have to change a guy? Or why do you feel like you have to help them to become better people? Because you deserve to date someone that's already better, that's already a wonderful human being that is not going to manipulate. And
well, I know that now, but back then, I think when you're in that environment, when you're super young, when you're insecure, when maybe your girls have, or your girlfriends have boyfriends
that are friends that are, with, yes,
you know, I know, and you're going just to. Like, well, I'm not getting any good morning texts from guys, or my friend, like, you have a sleepover with your girlfriends and they get all this attention. And then finally there's one guy who like comes in and he's the bad boy, mm-hmm. but he's the good, he's good to you. And so you're like, oh my gosh, well, you're just stupid, really.
Right.
Because you, I don't know, you don't feel smart enough, whatever the insecurities are, but it's always knowing that there are, and it's hard because I used to tell the girls this all the time, there's a lot of fish in the sea, which is very like,
yeah,
it's like silly to say, but it's true.
Mm-hmm. There's, not silly.
But you know what I mean? That's the term that everyone uses. Like, there's plenty of fish in the sea, but it's true. And like, if it's not that guy, there's going to be someone else who treats you right. Like the way you lived, like honestly, when you're talking, actually makes my stomach hurt. Because I'm like, oh my God, I cannot imagine. And then you have a new baby, like living in this uproar and like you can't find them. And then they're wasted and they're drug dealing and you're living in like crazy.
Right.
That's just not.
And I could have left. But like, you'll agree with me on this. Like he hung out with the Dallas crew, too. You know, mm-hmm. like he was friends with all them. And I was like, I don't want to leave that because we all have a lot of mutual friends. Like when we broke up and we blocked each other from Facebook, we each had like 1500 friends. We had like 700 friends in common. And that was really hard because I learned who my real friends were after we broke up, who was team Tyler and who was team Denise, you know? And, but like with you and Andy, like you, he was popular. He had a lot of friends. And like, you know, I always thought, I was like, man, Marcella and him, I was like, I don't know, but I think she'd be good for him. I think, you know what I'm saying? Like Andy's always been known as that arrogant kind of guy, but I felt like, no, she's going to be good for him. She's going to change that whole dynamic. But I had no idea, like, and you know, I had, it never came off that way, you know. I Andy's always been that teddy bear that everybody thinks, mm-hmm. he perceives that. And Tyler was the same way, mm-hmm. everybody loved Tyler. Tyler was the pop, you know. He, you know, he, his claim to fame is Mr. Venice
I'm
Beach.
Sorry, I don't know Tyler.
You don't want to know Tyler.
But I know Andy, and he was not a teddy bear, and he was not loved by
but
anyone.
He made it, but in clubs, nope. He made it off like
he
that.
He looked like yeah. that, but everyone can't stand him. Still
oh, no.
Not today.
Well, still now, but I think she's talking about, like, he had a back lot of in friends our day.
Yeah.
back then. Like,
and that's how we all hung out all the time. Mm-hmm.
Well, but now you even look at it, and you're like, how stupid. Like, the whole thing is dumb. Like, who cares about being, like, when you think about it truly, like the big picture, like it's all stupid. Like who cares about clubs or like anything like that? You just are so young and naive and dumb, really. I mean,
if only we knew then what we know now,
right?
Things would be totally different.
When I always say now, like I would never date someone that I needed to fix, change, take care of, like never. Like you have to have your shit together because it's unattractive to me at this point.
Yeah. And I will tell you everything that I've been through. I could talk to a guy, like guys, you know, hit me up on Facebook, or I've been on a couple dates, but one little thing and I'm done. Like uh-huh. it could be the weirdest thing, like just the way he answers a question or something. Because my friend made a good point. She's like, we're old enough now where you don't have to settle. Like you can be picky because you will find that person that, you know. And
I almost feel like you still like don't even see yourself as what you could truly have.
Oh, absolutely not.
Like, that's the vibe I'm getting from you.
Like I look at Marcella, who I've always, you know, and I don't see myself like that. And people come up to me, like, I went out the other night, and I was wearing this really cute boho top, and girls that I don't even know, like, you look so gorgeous, or, like, I'll get compliments on Instagram. They're like, you're so beautiful, and, like, I'm like, oh, thanks. I don't see myself that way. But it's because of what I've went through. I can pull hot guys. I'm not afraid to say that. Like, I've dated some really good looking guys, you know? But it's like,
but guys with quality.
Exactly.
That's what you need
quality
to think about.
Yeah, instead of quantity. And then, but as a young girl, we all look for that. Oh, he's hot. I want to, you know, like, and it's not about that. I don't even go for looks. Like, trust me, I've dated a 300-pound guy before. Like, that doesn't matter to me. It's what's on the inside, you mm-hmm. know? But, you know, everybody wants their Tom Cruise or their Brad Pitt. But it's like, yeah. But now what my qualities in a guy, like I'm talking to a guy now and he's a manly man. Like, he, you know, he runs his own businesses. And it was so funny because I was with my friend. I said, he's so good looking. I said, he looks like a guy that has a job. Everybody's laughing because nowadays, you know, like, and I told myself I would never meet a guy at a bar or at a club or anything like that ever again. But I saw him and now I said that and they're like, oh, that's so funny. At your wedding, I'm going to tell him you said that. And and it's true. He's very successful and he's got his stuff. And I was like, finally, that's what I need to look in. You know, I think I've just been always looking in the wrong direction. And then I was scared. And we'll get into that. Like, I've just been really closed up. And that's one thing I want to tell people. You can't do that. You have to, don't let it define you and be yourself.
I was just going to say, don't let your past define you. Like, be, move on from that. Mm-hmm. That is obviously your story. And, but look up and look at better things. I feel like you can absolutely have that. So,
I mean, it'll be with you forever because people approach me and they're like, oh, you're Sean's ex-girlfriend. I'm like, you know what I'm saying?
And that's what we're going to talk about in the next episode, right?
What's that?
Sean? Or,
yes. Yeah, okay.
We'll cut that out. Wait.
What? Is that the... We don't have to cut it out because everyone knows who he is.
Oh, I don't know.
Like, yeah, because...
Nobody knows his last name. I won't say his name. I mean, anybody that listens to us that knows us isn't going to know who he is. So, I mean, they can Google it. It's not... I was just going to say
that once you're a prisoner of the state of Texas, like, everyone knows anyways, correct?
Yeah, I mean...
So
it's not a secret.
Episode 55 will be really fun.
Actually, we covered so much time, so we're gonna take a little break, and then when we come back, we will hear the story of. We're gonna get right into it and get into the story of how you met this man that almost killed you, and how he ended up in prison, and what you had to do to get that there.
I don't like to say he almost killed me. I just want to say, like, I mean, it's true. There's no other way to say it, but like just try to take my life, because he tried to kill me, but I'd rather just say he tried to take my life, not kill me. I don't like the word kill. Like, that makes it so much harder, you know, like
for you to accept.
Okay, everyone, please come back and listen to episode 55 when Denise is gonna be so brave. So proud of you, by the way. So in the meantime, if you want to, because I know that your mission and your intention to come on is to help other people and help women see the warning signs and not to stay in bad relationships. So can you give them your social media handles?
Absolutely. So I was hoping I could do that. You can reach me on Instagram. It's not hard, but it's music_is_my_anchor. And you can just look up by my first name, probably Denise, D-E-N-Y-S-E, last name Reber, R-E-B-E-R. I'm on Snapchat, Instagram, and Facebook. And you can message me on there. Don't be afraid. I'm here for you. If I don't get back to you right away, I promise. Like, I don't care what your story is. Even if it has nothing to do with abuse, I'm here for you. Like,
well, I think you covered a lot of brave stuff.
Like, yeah.
Already.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, if anyone wants to talk to you about.
And sometimes I know if you're listening, it's easier to talk to a stranger than a family member because I have no judgment. Like, don't feel like, you know, I'm going to judge you. And I hope people listening don't judge me. I'm just real and I'm telling my story because that's what made
me. There's absolutely no judgment. Mm-mm. Shouldn't be any judgment. You're just being very brave and sharing your story.
Yeah, so I don't.
We're very proud of you.
I don't like being a dancer. I don't regret any of that stuff because I had the time of my life and like it was a learning experience. And would I want my daughter to do that? Heck no. But you know what I'm saying? Like I had a good life. Like, and I always told my mom, I said, you know what? Had something happened to me that night, I just want you to know that, you know, that song by the band Perry, I had the time of my life. I just want you to know that I had the time of my life.
Yeah.
Like, I was good.
Yeah.
So. Short break.
Yes, short break. We'll come back. If you enjoy our show, please take a moment to leave us a review and please subscribe so you will always be the first to know of the newest episodes. And please check out our website, tuposhboutique.com. And all our social media handles, Marcella.
You can find me on all social media at Marcella Ranieri. I think on Facebook, it's Marcella.Ranieri. But everywhere else, I didn't get very creative. So just MarcellaRaneri.
With Lee?
I think all of my handles, like Snapchat, Instagram, everything, Twitter, is Langford7Wit. And it's LangFord. The number 7 and then WHIT.
And mine is Gabby Talks, and the rest of it is all Tuposh. They all stole all my social media and made it all into Tuposh, which is fine.
But T-O-O-P-O-S-H. Because some people don't understand.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. TOOPOSH Boutique, BOUTIQUE is our website. And it is Too Posh Boutique on Instagram as well, on Twitter, Snapchat, and everything. And my Instagram is Gabby Talks. And on Facebook, I'm Gabrielle
Gilmore.
Gilmore Kendler. My maiden name. So everyone, have a sparkly day. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.